time for a mission.
The snap. Winston sells the play action fake again. Looks sideline. Bayrout toward the corner of the end zone. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans takes it over the shoulder.
This is Monday's Buccaneers Total Access.
Fire the cannons.
Where each week we feature a different Buccaneers player. Brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. Here's your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
Welcome into Buccaneers Total Access with Levante David. Levante, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you feeling after a, I'm sure, very late night and not a lot of sleep?
Oh, man, I'm feeling okay. Feeling fine. You know, just football. You know, sore a little bit. But, you know, it's good to be back out there playing football again. And today, you know, feeling good, getting myself, you know, ready for the next week.
I know that had to kill you being out. I know you were such a competitor and you love football more than almost anything else.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What was that like for you those couple weeks having to sit out and watch the team? And I'm sure it just killed you not being able to be out there with your guys.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough, you know, but, you know, I always try to keep myself involved. Like I was preparing myself to play, even though I knew I wasn't. So that's how I kind of kept my mind in it, kept my head in the game. And, you know, I just fed off, you know, what those guys were doing on the field, you know. So when they was making plays, it felt like I was out there making plays with them.
And Kendall Beckwith, definitely one of those guys that was out there making plays. How mm-hmm. huge was that for you to get to watch him?
Yeah, you know, in this game, you know, you never know, you know, when your name's going to be called. And he stepped right up to the plate, you know, soon at first when Quan went down. And then I went down and, at the moment, you know, he had to be the guy. He had to have the green dot, take control of the defense, and he handled it well. He handled it real well. But that's what we expected from Kendall, man. He's a poised kid, and he played football real hard.
You had to have the green dot some as a rookie, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Crazy story. I didn't have it all camp. Didn't have it all leading up to the game, and then Saturday night team meeting, well, defensive meeting. Before the game, coach came and told me, you know, I'm going to be making all the play calls for Sunday. I'm like, what?
What?
I didn't do it all camp or nothing like that. So how y'all just going to, you know, put that pressure on me that quick? But, you know, I handled it well. You know, I had a lot of veterans around me who, you know, kind of kept me poised and kept me in it. So I took care of it. You know, same thing with Kendall.
Yeah, so did you do that for Kendall, knowing how that felt for you as a rookie to feel thrown in the fire?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, just told him, you know, just make sure, you know, you just, whoever's in there with you, make sure you tell them to echo the calls as well. You know, make sure you're not the only one talking. Make sure everyone communicating so everybody get the call across the board and it go much easier for you.
And whenever you did come back yesterday, how did you feel physically, mentally, preparedness level? Did you feel like you were just normal self out there? Did
yeah,
you feel a little weird?
I felt really good, you know. I felt better than I expected, honestly. You know, I thought, you know, I was well conditioned, but I thought, you know, regular condition and football condition is totally different. I thought I was going to be, you know, throughout the course of the game, I thought I was going to be a point where I get kind of tired, but I wasn't. I felt great, you know. So that was a good thing, and just felt like I picked up where I left off a little bit, you know. Even though, you know. Which we could have did a lot more, but, you know, had to play things the way I, you know, in the scheme of the defense. But, you know, personally, you know, physically, I felt real good.
We had talked to Doug the last radio show we had about being football
yeah.
shape and how different that is as compared to, you know, it's almost impossible to have yourself physically
right.
ready after being out for a bit. So
right.
how do you think you were able to be so physically and mentally ready to go?
Just, you know, always staying in tune, you know, always staying in tune, you know, always doing some type of stuff, always trying to stay busy, stay involved, you know, while those guys, you know, out there practicing, just trying to, you know, get some extra running in, whatever it is. And, mentally, just, like I said, just, in the meeting rooms, asking questions like you getting ready, preparing to play, just asking questions when need to be asked and, making corrections, you know, asking the coach all type of things, you know, just, looking at the film, you know, just finding out little pointers and things like that. So I think that's how, you know, I kept myself ready. Actually, you know, I didn't expect me to play the whole game this past game, but I ended up doing it. So that was a good thing, too.
That's crazy. And I know, obviously, the start was not what you guys
yeah.
would want. I mean, you
right.
guys were all very outspoken about that in the locker room afterward of just knowing it was not
yeah.
what you expect of yourselves. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know how else to ask it other than what
right.
happened.
terrible. Whole first half, man, we was, you know, played soft. Just not being ourselves, overthinking simple things. Trying to do more than what we should be doing, you know, and that cost us, you know, it cost us big time. And, like I said, to be down 31-0 in the third quarter, you know, that's impossible to come back from. So, you know, as a defense, you know, we felt like the whole thing was, you know, our fault because we didn't give our offense a chance to be in the game in the first place. You know, they came down the first drive, scored. The second drive, scored. You know, like, what the going on? You know, so, you know, we came out, you know, after halftime, you know, kind of poised a little bit. You know, we just started to play our game, you know, trying to create turnovers, you know, stopping the run more, things like that. And everybody just started to just do their job, basically. So, and that was the turnaround. But obviously it wasn't enough to get the W, but, you know, we all disappointed about that. You know, the whole defense as a whole, we were very disappointed in ourselves, and coaches was disappointed about the performance as well. So, you know, got a lot of work to do. You know, we just got to get back to the drawing board and fix it and never let it happen again.
Starting fast or slow seems like one of those things that is an intangible, like you don't really know how to create it or not, like what causes it. Mm-hmm. So looking back on it, is there a way that you can look back and say, okay, maybe this is why we got off to this kind of start so that we don't have it happen again? Or is it just you now make the decision, we're just not going to let it happen again?
I think it all start, you know, with practice habits. You know, I think it all start with practice habits leading up to the week. You know, there's been some days where, well, not some days, but some periods where we're not doing this, going as hard, and the next period we're going hard, and that, like, you know, just drop offs and things like that. So, made an emphasis, you know, in the locker room, you know, we got to have a better sense of urgency. You know, we're coming out to play a football game, you know, coming out to play football. So, when you step on that field, you better be ready to go from first snap to the last snap. And we got to, you know, do a better job at that.
And how impressed were you? You talked about 31-0 being an impossible thing to come back from, and man, that you guys almost did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that a lot of people were incredibly impressed with the resolve the team had and the ability mentally to not give up on it. So what did that say about you guys as a team?
It shows what we're capable of, man. It shows what we're capable of when we, you know, come out not messing around, everybody just locked in, ready to play football, you know, and it showed that, you know, what we can do to any football team we play against if we come out locked in from the start to the end. And we got to do a better job at doing that, you know. So just got to have a mindset. Everybody got to have the same mindset, same attitude every time we come on the field that, you know, if we're to come out here and it's going to be a physical, hard, no BS football game. So, you know, that's just the type of mentality we have to have.
And when you're trying to come back from a deficit like that, you're definitely going to need points from both the offense and the defense. And you did your part on that for sure, trying to help claw your way back. And that was your first fumble recovery for a touchdown of your career.
Yeah.
How cool did that feel?
It was real cool. It was real cool. You know, I was hoping it was a spark for the football team, you know, get us back in and get that momentum on our side a little bit. So, and then we got the 2-point conversion off of it. So it kind of was a little momentum spark. So, you know, I just tried to come out, you know, just make a play, you know, and that was the opportunity to make one, you know. So, and I made it. I mean, I was going to try to scoop and score it. So, you know, that was a big moment in the football game.
I feel like that's got to be the hardest thing in the world as a defender, that you see that ball and you are so excited and to have the poise and discipline to actually scoop and score. Yeah. You see so often guys try and just fumble it and it doesn't go well. And they tell you to maybe just fall on it sometimes. So how hard is that to be disciplined in that moment when you see that golden end zone so close to you?
It's hard. It's hard, you know, because you don't know who's around you. But luckily for me, you know, I was aware that, you know, it was a little quick little pass. And Larry Fitzgerald was the only receiver, only offensive player on that side. So I knew I had the opportunity to scoop it up and score with it. So, you know, it was good awareness by me. And, you know, you had the ball out loosely. So I had the opportunity to go for it, and I got it. You know, I was able to, you know, get my first fumble recovery for touchdown.
And it's your third touchdown, I think, of your career. Is that
third
correct?
Touchdown.
So is it just an incredible moment each time? I mean, obviously, that's not a thing that's gonna that happens a ton of times in a career. So how big is that for you now, three of them?
Oh, it's big. You know, it's exciting. You know, a lot of linebackers don't get that opportunity. You know, it's different when it's in the first two I got was in winning situations. We won games, but this one, we lost the game. It really kind of get pushed back a little bit, you know, like pushed behind a little bit. But, you know, to add it on my resume is really exciting.
Yeah, so it takes away from the overall experience when you don't get the W. Yeah,
exactly.
I can understand that for sure. And so, obviously, as a linebacker, playing against Adrian Peterson is the thing that grabs a lot of your attention, I'm sure, in the week preparing for it. And when you guys didn't originally know you'd be preparing for him this soon, you knew you'd play him at some point this season twice.
Right.
But
right.
When you found out that you were going to have to face him this week, how did that change your preparation and what did you expect to see from him?
Oh, man, it was exciting. You know, I knew they was going to try to feature him a lot. You know, this is the type of offense that he liked to be in. You know, as a linebacker, you know, get the chance to play against a football player like Adrian Peterson, you know, all it does is just it riled me up a little bit. I got excited that he was over there because you know the type of football game it was going to be. You know, they got Adrian Peterson and he's a hard runner. You know, they're going to run the football. And as a linebacker, I want you to run the football. You know, so, you know, for me, it was real exciting. But, you know, he ended up having a great game, breakout game. And hate to say it, you know, but, you know, we didn't come out and stop him the way we needed to.
All right, we still have tons more coming up here on Buccaneers Total Access with Levante David. This is brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Don't go anywhere. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access continues. Brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage. Once again, your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with Levante David. All right, we were just talking about facing Adrian Peterson and not getting quite the start against him, especially that you wanted. Is he one of those guys, you know, you said you got excited about it. Mm-hmm. Are there guys that you get incredibly pumped to go against or to even watch if it's a linebacker that you've looked up to or a running back you want to go against? Who are those guys that get you especially fired up?
I mean, every running back for me. You know, especially if the team, you know, featured their running back a lot, opportunity to make a lot of plays, get the opportunity to make a lot of plays. But watching other defensive guys, I like watching guys like obviously Luke Kuechly. I like watching Thomas Davis. I like watching their whole core, actually. And then Bobby Wagner is a guy I like watching. Alec Ogletree. I like watching Zach Brown. Who else I like watching? Nigel Bradham, those guys over there in Philly. You know, Navarro Bowman. It's a lot more other people. You know, obviously, my boy Mason Foster, guys who I'm real tight with. I like watching them play.
Sounds like you got a lot. Do you consider yourself a student of the game in that way?
I love watching, you know, the guys who play my position. You know, just because, you know, I kind of, you know, feel like, you know, the mentality that they have as a linebacker, just want to see if they have the same mentality. And so far, so good. Those guys come out, you know, playing hard from the first snap to the last.
How about when you were a kid? Who did you watch?
When I was a kid, you know, obviously, you know, growing up in Miami, you know, they always played the Dolphins games. So I kind of watched Zach Thomas all the time. Ray Lewis, wanted to watch Ray Lewis. Watch Derrick Brooks. Who else? Let me see who else is out there. Back then, I really liked watching Brian Urlacher as well. Brian Urlacher was one of those guys who I loved watching. I remember always getting Brian Urlacher on Madden.
So when you watched them, were you just enjoying watching them? Were you trying to learn? Do you consider yourself someone who patterned your game after any of these guys? Or?
I mean, as a kid, you know, I didn't know if I was going to make the NFL or not, you know, so I was just watching just because I like watching, you know, and I played linebacker, so I just liked watching them, you know, play football, and they was always exciting to watch, and it was always fun to watch them.
When did you get the idea that you might be able to play in the NFL?
Probably when I ended up going to the University of Nebraska, and I was named the starter, you know, like, okay, you know, I'm on the big stage now. So, you know, if I do what I'm supposed to do, go out there, play football the way I know how to play it, you know, maybe I get some notoriety from the NFL. And then after my junior season, notoriety started coming. And then that's when I realized it, really. You know, I kind of, at the beginning, I didn't think about it. I don't like thinking about, like, focusing on the task at hand. And then when, you know, after your junior year, you know, people thought I was going to come out early. People's agents were calling me, things like that. So I kind of, you know, had an idea, like, okay, you know, it's getting serious now. You know, I might have a chance to go to the NFL. So, you know, I could put that, you know, I could have that, set that goal right there. But, you know, still focus on myself to try to get better.
Yeah, you had such an interesting route to the NFL. I mean, first, you mentioned your high school in Miami. I mean, you guys technically won the quote-unquote mythical national championship.
Yep.
Which, so the high school I went to was it the years before you. So you guys dethroned us. We were a little upset about it. South Lake Carroll.
South Lake Carroll.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we were, I remember, like, thinking, like, who is this school in Florida? Who do they think they are? And so you do you remember how, like, if that was I'm assuming that was a huge deal to you guys.
It was amazing. It was amazing. You know, that whole atmosphere. It was like a college atmosphere because we ended up playing at SMU Stadium in Dallas, and the whole game was sold out. It was incredible. When we came out, and we were looking around. We looked at South Lake Carroll side, like, oh my god, it's crazy. And then we looked on our side. We had some fans, but you know, it was.
Well,
amazing.
I mean, that was a home game for them, as compared to Miami. So
yeah,
in that defense,
well, we had a good crowd though, but. The whole experience, man, you know, playing against those guys and actually getting them, give them their first loss in, like, I don't know how many years. So it was pretty cool, you know. It was a great experience. And ended up finishing the season undefeated, and that gave us the national title. So we was excited about that.
That's awesome. And, I mean, I can't imagine how unique as a high school experience, you know, so many people's high school football is so small. It's a few friends and family they're watching, and then they go to college, and it's this shock. Mm-hmm. And you kind of did it the other direction, where you went to this huge high school program. You got thousands of people watching your game, and then you went to a community college.
Exactly.
How weird was that to do it the other direction
for you? It was so weird. Going to a community college, playing in a high school field. Actually, my high school had more fans than my community college. So it was different. It was backwards. But, you know, I put myself in that situation. So I went up there and, you know, took advantage of the opportunity and seized the moment and got a chance to play at one of the best college atmospheres ever at the University of Nebraska, you know, playing at Memorial Stadium.
You're not biased or anything, obviously.
I'm not. It was incredible. I mean, from the tunnel walk, getting prepared from the tunnel walk to going out to just when the balloons go up after a touchdown, it was all incredible. For my first time seeing that, you know, I was amazed.
That's incredible. And like you said, the community college experience, it's not like you didn't play against competition there.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, I think you won a championship with them and you ended up sacking Cam Newton in the process.
Actually, we lost.
Oh, you lost the game. Oh,
but
no.
But we played them. We played against, you know, Cam Newton football team. And it was a fourth down and I sacked them for us to get the ball to run the clock out. But we had to punt the ball. It was a running clock. I'm telling you this story. I got to tell you this story.
I love that you remember every second of this.
It was
Obviously not bitter about this at all.
Man, it was heartbroken for me. It was a running clock. Kicked the ball. Told the punter to kick the ball out of bounds. Kick the ball out of bounds. We would have won the game. Kick the ball. It was going out of bounds. And then it went straight dead in the middle of the field.
Oh, no.
And the guy returned the punt for a touchdown.
Oh, no.
To beat us.
That's devastating.
And the bad thing about that is, I was always on punt team, and they took me off punt just for that game so I could spy Cam Newton for the game so I won't be tired. And for me, not being out there on the punt team, kind of put it on my shoulders like, oh, I'm supposed to be out there. Maybe I would have tackled them. So
that's, and is this – now, I think I've seen you out of practice that you will field punts.
Yeah.
Practice.
Yeah.
Is this related at all that you're like, man, like, I'm going to be able to be on punt team in some way or another at some point?
Nah, it's not. It just, it just looked fun back there. Those guys just returning the punts. And, you know, I think it helped my eye-hand coordination sometimes, you know, and just –
Yeah, you're pretty good at it. I've watched that. I mean, you hardly ever drop them.
Nah, I got a little good work at it. You know, I take pointers from Adam, you know, Adam and Reedy, you know, from those guys. And, you know, I just try to get back there, you know, just try to put myself in the moment because everybody know I'm not going to get back there. So,
well, now, have you talked to Coach about this?
Sometimes I'll be messing with him about it. And be like, you'll be the emergency.
The triple, you know, like if you're back there, we know things have gone horribly wrong.
Terribly wrong.
Yes, so, but if you went back there, you think you could make something happen?
I could probably catch it, but I'll fair catch everyone.
You just, that's it. You're like, no, never mind.
I would never run it. I won't catch it and run. I'll fair catch everyone.
Why not? Like if you get out, you are telling me that if you for some random weird reason got back there, you wouldn't try and return it. I have a very hard time believing this.
I probably won't because I don't like getting hit.
Okay. That's fair.
I don't like it.
You like dishing it out. Yeah. You're not taking it as much. Is this why you play defense?
Yes.
You learned this at a very young age?
Yes, I did.
Hit or be hit?
Yeah. So, you know, I'll probably just fair catch everyone. But, you know, I just like, it's just fun to me going back there catching, seeing myself at like a skill position guy. And then another reason is because I don't just want to be sitting around being all bored. I just want to be active. I want to do something.
Do something all the time. I like that. Well, you know, so was that game against Cam Newton and Community College, was that your last game there?
My last game. Last game there on defensive player of the game and losing effort. Because, obviously, because they thought the game was won already.
Yeah, they'd already picked you.
So.
And then you actually faced Cam in your first regular season game as a Bucks player, didn't you?
Yeah, as a Buck. My first game. You know, winning that
you're
game.
Like, I cannot escape this guy.
Yeah, I still can't.
Yeah, still here. Still enjoy sacking him, I'm sure. Something that you want to be doing a few more times, maybe.
Because, you know, he's a competitive football player, a great football player, so you enjoy going up against guys like that.
I remember you had said at one point that when you guys have those primetime games and they do the whole, like, name and college and where you're from, that you were going to rep your community college.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that at this point?
I didn't. Like, when they tell us we're about to do the thing, but I don't really know exactly what we're about to do, so I go, and then they'll tell us, say such and such in Nebraska. Like, okay, Levante David, linebacker, University of Nebraska. And I'm like, all right, that's good.
And then that's it. And you didn't even realize that you were doing it at the time.
No, exactly.
Oh, no. So we got to, like, think about this the next time they come in here so that you can actually do this at some point.
Yeah, I either want to say my community college or my high school or my Optimus.
You got so many
little
options.
League program.
Your little league. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever done that you know? Would you be the first one to rep a little league program? I've heard high schools before.
I think somebody done it. I believe someone done it.
That would be pretty great. Yeah. And going from Miami to the Midwest.
Oh my.
I sure was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, it was. I'm going from Miami to Fort Scott, where the airport was like 2.5 hours away, because we had to go to Kansas City Airport. 2.5 hours away, going to like the town is just as big as this whole facility. Only places around there was a Walmart and a couple fast food restaurants.
Hop in town.
Man.
That was a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
What do you feel like you learned from that whole experience? I know that you had talked about how you ended up going to the community college because you had taken football a little bit more seriously than school at the time.
Yeah.
So that whole experience, what do you feel like that did as compared to if you had just from high school gone straight to a Nebraska or a Miami or something like that? How are you different now?
I think it helped me be more responsible. You know, I was basically out there on my own, so I basically had to handle things on my own, you know, so I had to grow up real fast and then be mental tough, you know, the mental toughness part. I think that's where all my mental toughness come from, you know, just dealing with that whole situation, all that, you know, situation dealing with. Being out in the middle of nowhere, you know, dealing with the whole community college thing, you know, because community college is not fun. It's not fun at all. You know, and just going about my, you know, day-to-day life, just being able to go to class, wake up for class on time. Because, you know, you go to junior college, you know, it's basically kind of like your last chance. You know, so
I had last to
be,
chance you.
Yeah, so I had to basically be on point for everything. And like I said, I had to grow up real fast.
And then to make the switch from community college to Nebraska, what were the challenges with that?
The challenges going from, you know, just things got a little stricter, you know, I believe, you know, but you had a lot of help. you know, going to Nebraska. You know, their academic program for student athletes is amazing. You know, get all the help you need. And, you know, kind of just, I would say junior college was more harder than Nebraska. You know, Nebraska was, you know, I was kind of like more, you know, laid back, you know, chill, you know, just, you know, just being an athlete at the University of Nebraska, you know, just being able to, you know, interact with different type of people, stuff like that. It was fun. But the most difficult part about being in the Midwest period was the cold.
You were like, this is not happening.
Yeah.
And so thankfully you ended up back in Florida here.
Yes,
it's been handy.
Yes. Yeah, man. You know, God had a plan for me. And, you know, he laid it out for me. He said, basically, if you go through this, 2 years in Kansas, 2 years in Nebraska, being in the cold, you know, do what you're supposed to do. We'll get you back in Florida.
Nice.
So, heart of the plan, and I'm here, you know, not too far from home. So, it's amazing. It's a blessing.
So, now are you not looking forward to December in Green Bay, I'm assuming?
Not at all.
It's going to be a little bit chilly over there. Yeah. And I know you talked about, you know, how much you needed to learn coming out of high school. You are a huge, huge part of the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. Mm-hmm. You're the national ambassador for them. Does that contribute to what made you choose that particular program to be so involved with?
Yeah, I think so. Going from, you know, from high school to junior college to Nebraska, it's just, you know, a lot of kids back at home, you know, they kind of, you know, go through the, you know, same stuff that I probably went through, you know, so I kind of put myself, you know, kind of give them my experience, so I look at it as me being a big brother to them. So you know, I kind of, you know, took that whole thing and thought it would fit me real well. You know, I think it's been, you know, and I enjoy doing it. I think it's a real good look for me because I'm really passionate about it. I really like doing it. You know, I just really like being a positive voice to the youth. You know, and just reaching out to, you know, the people who can do the same thing, you know, no matter if they're a football player or not. You know, they just reach out to a young, you know, young adult, just kind of like have them lean on them and help them throughout the whole process of growing up.
All right, we still have a lot more coming up on Buccaneers Total Access with Levante David. This is brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We still got tons left. Don't go anywhere. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Now more on Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with Levante David. So I know that you and Quan in particular have gotten incredibly close on this team. You talk about how you guys are like brothers out there in the field. And when did that bond really form for you guys?
I want to say around the middle of his rookie year. You know, you're going to be out there on the field with a guy, you know, for, you know, majority of the football game. You got to grow a bond with him, you know, got to have the type of bond on and off the field. So you could establish that trust factor, and then the trust factor off the field leads to the trust factor on the field. Like, you count on me off the field, I can count on you on the field. And it grew, and it's growing, you know, right now to this day. You know, I always mess with him, you know, when, you know, he do something wrong, I get on him. When I do something wrong, he get on me. So that's the type of, you know, relationship we have. You know, we just try to motivate each other. You know, someone's having a bad day, one of us having a bad day, we'll lean over, hey, man, I need you today. You know, we need you to pick me up a little bit today, or vice versa. You know, that's the type of relationship you want to have with a guy who you know he's going to be out on the field with 100%, you know, so 100% of the time. So, you know, Quan's like a little brother to me, man. He brings the energy, you know. I'm more of a calm, laid back guy, and then he's more excited, energetic, energy guy. And I think it really, you know, it hits, you know, because you can't have two energetic guys, you know, can't have two calm guys. So you got him, you got me. So I think it's a perfect duo.
Yeah, perfect little balance there.
Yeah.
And so as the big brother, when he came in with the bright red hair.
Yeah.
I wish people could have seen the look on your face just now. It looks like you were maybe not instantly sold
on
this look.
I wasn't at all. I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, they call me Cheeto Head. I'm like,
that's what he said he wanted to be called?
Yeah.
Well, then how do you insult a man when that's what he says he wants to be called?
He was really excited about it. You know, I was messing with him for like the first 2 weeks about it, and then it just grew on me. I'm like, Quan with the red hair, whatever. Yeah. So it just grew on me. But first two weeks, I was messing with him, giving him a hard time about it. But he really liked it, so, you know, can't do nothing much about it.
But we shouldn't expect to see you dye your hair at any point? Nope. No. Not the goatee? Nothing?
No. I thought about it.
Yeah?
But second guess myself, like, nah, that's not me.
No.
So I'm going to leave it alone.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. I even thought about shaving it all off.
Just everything. That's it. All gone.
Yeah, because I did it one time in college. I shaved off my mustache and my beard, and I had the baby face going, but I didn't like it, so I
had to look a little bit more mature.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, it's funny you talked about how important it was to have that bond on and off the field, because I think that's something that we hear a lot about, especially for, like, the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one position, and maybe a quarterback wide receiver connection, but I don't know that we would have known just how important that was maybe for you guys.
Yeah.
Is it all positions, or do you think in particular linebacker is another one that is really important?
I think it's all positions. All positions are more important. You know, position that works in groups, you know, defensive line, DBs, O-line, running backs, wide receivers, you know, all those guys work in groups. And then it's not a bad idea to have go out, you know, with the whole offense, the whole defense, stuff like that. So I know as a linebacker core, we go out every Thursday, you know, trying to spend time with each other, pick each other's brain, you know, just get to know each other outside of football. You know, that's what we try to do. So we try to keep that tradition going, and it's been going really well.
And for you and Quan, you lost your mom and he lost his brother. Were those times that the bond kind of went even further and where it showed how it's about a lot more than football?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the first time we found out Quan lost his brother, you know, saw him in the locker room, you know, bawling his eyes out, crying, you know, me, you know, as a leader, you know, I just wanted to come and, you know, console him a little bit because he couldn't be there, be home at the moment. Just go around him, you know, put my arm around him, you know, just try to give him, ain't much you can say, but just try to, you know, just give him encouraging words and just let him know, you know, you got another brother in me. So that's basically all I did. And then he did the same thing, you know, reached out to me, you know, reached out to me every day, asked me how everything was going, and just trying to, you know, just stick by my side throughout the whole ride, and, you know, I appreciate him for it.
And was he there for you? Did that almost make it seem like he was one of those guys that could even understand more what you were going through after having lost someone recently?
Yeah, one of those guys, yeah, I think so, because, you know, he recently went through a loss, and he dealt with it, and, you know, he just reached out to me and kind of helped me how to deal with it.
And for you, I know that you've gotten to make that one Pro Bowl, and then, you know, just the way that it, timing-wise, it seemed like the loss of your mom kind of around the season, that started in a time for you that was a bit of a struggle of a new coach and just so much change in your life.
Yeah.
Is that how it felt in the moment, and do you feel like you've been able to get some stability since then?
Yeah, it did. It did. Like, everything was just going the opposite direction, you know, coming off a great year. You know, one of my mom's dreams was to go to Hawaii, and she ended up going with the Pro Bowl thing, and then she felt like, you know, she did everything she wanted, you know, saw her youngest son, you know, be blessed, make the Pro Bowl, go to Hawaii, and, you know, see me grow up, and, you know, everything, you know, I guess, worked out in her plans, you know, so that's how I look at it, that's how I try to stay positive about it, you know, you know, I think the whole last year was like the first time where she wasn't at a football game. You know, it's kind of difficult sometimes, you know, coming out in the family area and you don't see her, because that's the first person who I always run to. And when in away games, I always get a text message from her. And then after the game, I talk to her after the game. So it's kind of awkward, you know, dealing with it. You know, I had tough times. I had tough moments. It was moments where I was just like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I could continue to do this. But at the end of the day, you know, I think back and say, you know, she wouldn't want me to think like that. So I kind of go back and just regather my brain and just get back to it. And, you know, just like, I want to say, like, around after the season, I think that's when it really just, I got a chance to, you know, just calm down, reflect, and then just get my back right and focus. Get back focused and clear my head and just focus on, you know, being a great football player.
And now you did have second year with Coach Smith and the consistency there and the defense. And you guys had talked about how midway through last season was when the communication really started clicking and that, you know, it seemed like this year would be like the year for the defense.
Yeah.
So how did it feel, you know, coming in with that same system again, and just how you feel like there's obviously been some up and down moments so far with the defense this year. So how do you feel like you can evaluate where you guys stand as a unit right now?
We not where we want to be, you know, not where we want to be, but we still, you know, got some promising things to, you know, look forward to, you know, with the, you know, the injuries that occurred earlier in the year, and then the shuffling, you know, things that happened, and then still got the main core guys who we need to go out there and, you know, play great football with. And I think this week, this upcoming week, is probably going to be the first week where we really got everybody back healthy, you know. So it's going to be fun, you know, to have everybody back out there back healthy and play book football the way we know how to play it.
And speaking of everyone back healthy, I think a lot of people have been wondering how you and Quan and Kendall all together can operate and look. Yeah. And I mean, when he was able to step in there, it was like, man, like this guy's playing great. So how do you guys, all three of you, function as a unit, and what are the different roles and ways that you guys can be utilized?
Oh, man, we all work together. You know, we all can do some of the same things, familiar things, you know, with each other. We all know each other's position. You know, you've seen it, like when Quan went down, Kendall went from Sam linebacker to Mike linebacker, and he played it real well. So, and vice versa. So, you know, it all, you know, Coach Duffin do a great job of teaching us, helping us learn, you know, each other's job, first our job, and then learning each other's, the person who you're playing with job. So, you know, I think that's what make a linebacker core strong. And, you know, we got a great group of guys in the room who, you know, when if things, you know, if something bad happens, you can count on that's got to step up.
Take us into that linebacker room. I know you guys got a lot of different personalities in there, including Coach Duffner. Yeah. So take us in there and tell us about some of these guys and what that room is like during a meeting.
Oh, man, I think it's the best room in the house.
Not biased at all, though, I'm sure.
No. Everybody, you can ask anybody, they're going to say, man, y'all room the best room.
Somehow I doubt that. But, you know, maybe I'll start asking every week now, whoever comes in here.
Watch.
And I will let you know if any of them say linebacker, but somehow I feel like they're probably going to say their own position group. I don't know.
Nah, watch. Okay. They're going to say linebackers. But starting with Coach Duffner, a funny guy. You all know he's a funny guy. Joking guy, but he's a genuine guy. You know, he's always motivating you, congratulating when you're doing good, and then still, you know, on you when you do bad, but it's in a good way, in a positive way, knowing you can be better. So, that's Coach Duffner. He got Danny. Danny is the energetic guy. You know, the guy who's getting everybody. But knowing what everybody's supposed to be doing in certain situations and stuff like that. And you got Dave, who's the more of the quiet coaching guy, but he knows everything that's going on around. So, you know, whenever you need something, you go ask Dave, and Dave will have it for you right there. And then the players starting out, got Riley. Everybody know Riley Buller.
Yeah, thanks to Hard Knocks.
Yeah, everybody know Riley. Riley's that energetic guy. The guy who you can just, like, you need a little boost, you can say, Riley, we need this right here. Bam. Riley will do it and then get everybody crunked up. And then you got Eric. Eric's the quiet guy. You know, you don't know Eric. You know, Eric's from Germany. He went to Wyoming. Eric, the quiet guy, but we kind of corrupt Eric a little bit. He's not as much quiet anymore.
Turning him into the American now instead of the German. Yeah.
And then, let me see, you got Bond. Bun and more, you get that real true Cali vibe from Bun. Devontae Bun, he's laid back, chill, cool, just smooth. Try to be smooth type guy. That. Then you got a Darius Glenn. You ain't gonna hear much out of the Darius, but when you do hear something, it's always gonna be something funny. You know, he's the guy who get Coach Duff going. You know, just do something like get on Coach Duff's nerves on purpose just to get everybody to laugh.
Just to irritate him.
Yeah, just to irritate him. Then you got Cameron Lynch, the jokester. Cameron always joking, cracking on somebody all the time, and just being funny. Then you got Beck. Beck just sit back and don't do nothing. Just eat sunflower seeds all day.
Eat sunflower seeds.
Eat sunflower seeds all day, and then you got Quan. You know, obviously Quan. Quan, just be himself. You know, just Mr. Cool. Come in. Yeah. Just play football, baby. Yeah, all about football. Blah 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 blah. Just doing him, and then you got me, who just got to take the blame for everything. He becomes the oldest guy in the room now. So whenever something's not going right, they'll look at me. You're like, hey, come on, Vontae. How you going to let that happen? Like, so I got to take
You're like,
the blame
wait, this is all my responsibility
yeah,
now? Wait
so
a minute.
Everything. Last year was, you know, Darryl Smith, Buck. He's at the Buck, so they just switched it over to me. I'm like, I'm not as old as Buck was, so y'all got to give me a little break.
Yeah, I'm not that old. Yeah. All right, we still have one more segment coming up here on Buccaneers Total Access with Levante David, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with Levante David. Our final segment here, we're going to get to the game in Buffalo a little bit. But we right before the break, we're talking about the linebacker room.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned how we all know Riley Bulla, thanks to Hard Knocks. And he cut his hair, too. So you guys got a lot of interesting hair in the locker room, first of all, for the linebacker group.
I saw the pictures. He sent some guys some of the pictures, but I didn't see him yet in person. I think I'm going to give him a hard time about it.
Yeah. You're missing the Joe Dirt hair?
Yeah, I enjoyed the hair because it was his image.
Yeah.
You know, like, how are you going to mess up your image? You're going to cut
his
your hair
brand
like that.
Over
yeah,
there, yeah,
your brand, you know. So, you know, kind of, I ain't get to see him yet, but I think I'm going to give him a hard time about that.
And did I hear that he's in charge of the snacks for the room?
Yes, he's in charge of the snacks, and he hasn't been doing a good job.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So is that the other thing that now, like, he's lost his mojo here with the hair, that it's making his performance with the snack room suffer?
Well, the hair came after the performance with the snacks.
Uh-oh, so we can't even blame
that. And then Beck, you know, Beck picking up the slack because he's the rookie too, but he's picking up the slack. But the only thing Beck cares about is sunflower seeds, so that's what he got.
That's all he brings.
Yeah, just sunflower seeds.
I like that. That's pretty funny. All right, so looking forward to Buffalo here. Mm-hmm. Tell us about this game and just now how you are going to be able to move on to that and just ensure that. I know the biggest thing for you guys is making sure that you do not start the same way. So what is it going to be this week to make sure against that team you don't start the same way?
Yeah, obviously, you know, you want to put yesterday's game behind us as quick as possible, and I'll be getting the opportunity to do that today because Buffalo is no slack. You know, they a football team who, you know, wants to run the football. You know, they got another great running back in LeSean McCoy. They got a dual threat quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, and they got a good offensive line. So it's going to be another challenge for us, and then we're going up another away game up in Buffalo. So should be fun. You know, like I said, as a linebacker, it's going to be a running game. So, you know, I'm kind of excited about that. But we can't have a start like we had yesterday, you know, when it all starts on Wednesday when we get back ready for practice. We got to, you know, from the time we out there to the time we walk off the field, we got to have a great sense of urgency, and everybody got to be in tune.
You get that nice fall football weather, too, going up there a little bit. Does that get you excited to play something like that?
Yeah, it does. It does. It should be like, what, in the 60s, 70s when we get up there probably. So it should be cool, get a nice little breeze, get a chance, you know, play some real football weather, like people say.
Is that something you think about?
It's not.
No, not at all.
No, only thing I think about is going to be hot or it's going to be cold.
Yeah, that's it. Is this Miami or is this Midwest again?
Exactly.
So knowing that the struggles so far have come on the road, is that a coincidence, just these games and how it worked, or is it something that's actually, you think, going in terms of on the road versus at home this year?
I think last year, you know, we was a great team on the road. And this year, we're okay team at home. We got that one loss at home. It's just all about we want to keep stacking them up, man. You know, whether it's home or away, we want to make it complete. It don't matter if we're home or away, you know, we just want to make it a football game where we dominate, we control the football game. You know, when we're away, we always talk about we got to bring our own energy, you know, and that's what we try to do. And, you know, obviously yesterday we didn't do that from the beginning of the game, but, you know, this upcoming game is going to be the same way. It's a hostile environment. Like I said, they're a great football team, so their fans are going to be ready to go. You know, we got to bring our own energy, and we got to come out fast.
Are there some areas that you feel like you already know that you might be able to exploit with them, or is it going to be something where you have to make a pretty big play? Because, as you said, they've got a lot of talent up there on the offensive side.
I think it's just all about, you know, just trying to just stop their run game. You know, their team is based off their run game. So the main thing is we got to try to stop their run game from the first snap. And I just impose our will early, so try to make it one-dimensional, and just take off from there. Whether it's, you know, making, you know, creating turnovers, you know, just going out there and having fun.
What do you know about the way that LeSean McCoy runs that you're going to have to really be paying attention to?
He's shifty. He's a shifty guy, man. You know, everybody got to be in their gap. You know, he's one of those guys who can make a guy miss, so everybody got to get around the football. And when you hit him, you got to really hit him. You know, you can't be one of those guys where you tackle because he can easily shake up out of it. Like I said, you know, got great agility, great field speed, so he's going to be a tough challenge for us.
And that seems like a hard line to walk where you're wanting to make a big play,
yeah. But
you're also having to make sure you don't give up a big gain.
Exactly.
And for you, how do you try and walk that line?
Just know who you're going against, man. Just know who you're working with, you know, within the defense. You know, for me, you know, if I'm in the defense where I could take a big shot, you know, I'm going to take it because I know in my mind I have somebody, you know, backing me up. But if not, you know, I got to be smart about it. You know, I got to be able to, you know, make a for sure tackle when I need to, and just move on to the next down.
So it does matter to you in a lot of ways who else is out there personnel-wise with you guys to know maybe what you might need to do as compared to what some of them might be able to do if you were to miss a tackle or something?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's all working together as a defense. You know, all 11 guys together have one job, and then all jobs work hand-to-hand. You know, you may be doing something to help this guy out. You may be doing something. The guy may be doing something to help you out. So you got to know what defense is called and what your job is within the scheme.
And we obviously at this point don't know if Quan is going to be out there for that game on Sunday. But if he is that going to be something that gets you extra fired up going out there, getting to play alongside him again for the first time in a while now?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be real fun because I know the type of energy he brings onto the game. I know the type of attitude he brings. And, you know, it's going to be fun to get him out there because we all know, you know, he's been – trying to get back since the time he did get hurt, you know. So he's very anxious, and I know he's ready. So it's gonna be fun to see.
One thing you want to do in the game on Sunday? Pick anything.
Pick six.
That's
pick
your number
six.
One.
Yep.
Got an end zone dance now. If you got three of these, you're starting to pile them up. We need an end zone dance.
I don't know. I think we can do end zone dances now. So I need to come up with something. I think it's gonna be a group celebration, the group
thing. Yeah. I like that. I can't wait to see that. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Levante. We really appreciate it. And thanks to all of you for joining us as well. Buccaneers Total Access with Levante David, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access has been brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. This is 620 WDAE St. Petersburg and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.